You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the last 19 years, it's been my joy to investigate how Christians can lead better by talking to a variety of Christian leaders inside and outside the Christian world. So whether you are in a leadership role or simply looking to maximize your influence for God, I hope you find this next conversation helpful. Many leadership roles are multifaceted, and none more so than my guest today, who is the CEO of WorldShare, which he joined in 2021, following 18 years as pastor of Crofts End Church, Bristol. The charity works in a number of countries in Africa, Europe, Asia, and Central America, and engages in a number of activities: education, tackling justice, community work, healthcare, evangelism, and relief work, as well as responding to crises such as the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So I'm looking forward to discovering how Andrew Yelland, today's guest, juggles all these demands and decides on priorities in any given week. So Andrew, lovely to welcome you to the Leadership Show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here today.
So what was your journey first into pastoral ministry? I realize you were there 18 years or so.
Well, I was born and bred in Bristol, which is where the church was that was based. And I was actually serving in the Avon and Somerset Constabulary at that time. And I felt that I'd gotten a bit of a crossroads in my career. And I'd given it all over to the Lord and basically said, "Lord, if there's something you want me to do for you, you know, I'll serve you in whatever capacity you want me to." And I'd taken a bit of a career break to serve the Lord in some youth ministry and worship ministry that I was doing at the time. I'd gone back to work part-time, and I got to the point where I was, well, either you want me to continue to resume my career in the police service, or Lord, if there's something else, then, you know, I'll gladly serve you in whatever way that you want me to. And to be honest with you, I kind of expected it to be something to do with either youth ministry, youth evangelism, which was what I was involved with, or in worship ministry. And my father, before he died, he knew about the church that I ended up pastoring, which was my mum's church, actually. And he said to me, "Andrew," they were without a pastor, and he said to me, "Andrew, do you think you'd ever want to be the pastor of Crofts End?" And I said, "Dad, there's two things about that. One, I don't ever want to be a pastor. And two, if I did, that'd probably be the last church in the world that I would want to pastor."
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the Lord was smiling because he knew what was coming. But the church had gone through a period of interregnum for 2 years or so without a minister. And I'd gone occasionally to go and help it run services and things for it. And out of the blue, they approached me. And it was at this time I was praying, "Lord, if you open the door, I'll go through it." And just out of the blue, they said, "Look, we believe that God's asking us for you to consider whether you would join us as a pastor." That was a big change, because once I'd kind of said, "Well, you know, Lord, I'll do what you want," you have to be very careful then which door opens for you. And so I went and served there for 6 months on a voluntary basis. And then after 6 months, kind of said to the church, "Look, I believe this is right. If you want me, then I'll be willing to come." And they said they wanted me full time. So I went in next day, resigned from the police service, which I'd served in for 17 years, and then started pastoral ministry, which was an interesting transition. But as I often say, the best training I ever had for pastoral ministry was being a police officer, because you get to learn how to deal with people in a variety of situations, and other situations may be different. People are still people, and they still need care and looking after.
Sure. Well, you were there 18 years, so your reluctance to start, obviously, you must have been good at what you were doing, and they loved it. And that was, you know, 18 long years. But you then moved on now to your role at WorldShare in 2021. So did there come a period where it was just a natural break from pastor ministry into something different, and WorldShare came along? How did that all work?
Well, that's an interesting story as well, because we had been involved for over a decade in building a brand new ministry center and a church, which basically had become unfit for purpose. And that building had just been opened 3 weeks before COVID hit and the lockdowns kind of was working through COVID in the church. And after COVID, I felt the Lord saying to me one morning when I was out walking my dog, which is my quiet time, do you love me or do you love that building that you've been involved in building? And I, it's one of those times when you feel the Holy Spirit really, really delving deep. And I said, Lord, I believe, I hope I love you more. And then he said, well, I need you to lay it down because I've got something else for you to do. It's mine. It's not yours. But I'm not going to tell you what it is you're to do until you've left the church. Wow. And so, yeah, so that was an interesting conversation to go back and tell my wife. But she, you know, she was very supportive and said, well, we're going to pray about it, which we did. And there was a long kind of discernment process in that for us over the summer, and then began a process of telling the church. And it wasn't until the very final weekend, my last weekend actually serving as a minister at the church, February the 6th, in fact. I saw come up on my phone an advertisement that WorldShare were looking for someone to head up the organization. And I'd never heard of WorldShare. But as this thing pinged up on my phone, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, that is what I want you to do. So I thought, well, I better find out who WorldShare are then, and then discovered that they were an international missions kind of agency. And we've been involved in mission as a church globally since during my time there. We'd been to places like Cuba and Ghana and Romania. And we spent a long time partnering with an organization in Bosnia, Herzegovina. So we kind of had experience of international missions as a church. And so I just kind of applied, and there it was. Went for the interview, got offered the position. And so, and then it was meant a big shift from living in Bristol all the way to Doncaster, which is where WorldShare is based. So that was a big change for us as a family. But that's how I got to be at WorldShare. So
I imagine the interview must have been quite interesting when you say, well, I think the Lord's led me to this job.
Well, I was very candid about it and told them very, very clearly that that was what I believed. And I said, that's for you to discern as to whether you believe it's the right thing or not as well. But yeah, they obviously believed it was. And here I am. And it's been another interesting kind of move in terms of learning something completely different and from local pastoral ministry to something which has a global reach, supporting local Christians in their own context, in their own communities, to be able to declare the love of Jesus and reveal that in tangible ways so that the gospel can be experienced and lived out and completely and utterly learnt completely responded to when proclaimed. So it's an interesting opportunity for us to be involved in.
Well, yeah, I mean, please unpack a bit further the nature of the work, because I struggled to condense it in my introduction. You know, you're involved in many continents and in multi levels of service, from the, you know, a preached word through to relief and development and all sorts of things. So
it's got a wide remit, I must confess. And WorldShare, I always say that WorldShare, we're a small organization, but we kind of, I think we punch above our weight, to be honest with you. WorldShare was established, or its roots were established back in 1943 as a result of the communist government crackdown on foreign missionaries in China. And a young missionary from Northern Ireland by the name of Duncan McRoberts was able to get out of the country before being arrested, went to the US and realized that for the work to continue, the indigenous Christians needed supporting to be able to continue the work of the gospel, which obviously they'd been doing. And obviously, despite the fact that the regime had decided that no foreign missionaries could serve, obviously local indigenous Chinese Christians were able to still serve the gospel and serve Jesus. And so that began an organization basically set up to support local Christians in China. And over the 80 years, that's kind of grown globally. And so we are involved the UK is involved in projects, all of which are gospel-centric, but ranging as far west as Guatemala, and as far east as Myanmar and pretty much every continent in between, really. So we are privileged to be able to see and support. Our vision is to motivate, equip, and enable the local church to undertake the mission that God's called them to do in their own communities in sharing the love of Jesus. And as you say, that is lived out in a wide variety of different ways, from direct evangelism, so supporting projects like a Christian video channel called Canal Hayat, which broadcasts live now on the internet 24 hours a day the gospel into places like Turkey and West Asia, through to supporting the Evangelical Church in North Macedonia as they continue to grow and preach the gospel there, through to helping support organizations like Word of Hope in Myanmar, who run an orphanage for children, as well as a Bible college and church there. And then also enabling children to be supported through programs of education and well-being support. So, for example, in Guatemala, there is a project called Potter's House, which was started by two old ladies who felt God calling them one Christmas to go onto the rubbish dumps where children were scavenging, to go and give out blankets. And they did, in response to that call of the Lord. And now, now it's a really huge organization serving thousands of children, providing educational support, nutritional support, and basically impoverished children who would never otherwise have the opportunity to either get healthcare, education, or the food nourishment that they would normally require because the parents are so poor. Yeah, so it's a privilege to serve those guys, and then as well on a, such a big scale to a small scale of a small church in Accra, Ghana, Living Word of Faith Ministries, who 21 years ago set up a nursery at that point to enable the mums in this church to go to work and earn money for their families. And each year more children came, and so they grew into a school, and it's now the High Priest Academy. And we've been supporting that school to try and help it, because that really struggled as a result of the issues of COVID. So we've been involved in that for 2 years and are just in the process at the moment of trying to help them fund an IT suite for a classroom for their children, because it's a very impoverished area that they serve in at Accra. And so it's a wide range of projects, including medical systems, medical projects, education, as you say, and everything in between.
Well, Andrew, I was going to ask the question, what was it about the ministry that particularly interested you? But of course, the Lord have led you to this place. But obviously, there'll be a sense in which as you walk into a job, there'll be parts of it that you warm to, maybe, and other parts that are harder. With that broad breadth of work, how do you decide on your priorities on an average week or an average month? I'm just intrigued as to how you lead.
it's a very interesting question. I, to be honest with you, when I first arrived in the office in Doncaster, I told the team, I said, look, guys, I'm going to have to rely on you hugely because I know nothing about this. And you're going to have to tell me from your experience, some of whom have been working for WorldShare for 30, 40 years, what I need to know, what I need to learn. And I was very, very much dependent upon their expertise to start with in terms of not kind of creating too many waves to start with, but having to learn about the projects, learn about the partners, learn about what WorldShare does. And the reality is that WorldShare is primarily here to help support those individuals. And obviously many of them are in third world countries or countries that are in conflict. And so they need as much support as they possibly can. And so one of the key elements is always going to be in the forefront of our minds is raising finance to try and support them, raising awareness, raising people's understanding of the kind of situations that God is working in around the world, but where believers who are doing mission on their doorstep, but need the support that they desperately can't get in their own countries because of a financial situation or persecution or whatever. And so that is very much at the forefront, is trying to ensure that we are continuing to support financially to the best of our ability. Now, the problem comes with that is that there is only a limited amount of finance available for pretty much, you know, needs that, you know, we take for granted are met here, but are not in other places. And so very much our focus is, if you like, led by our ministry partners. We are not an organization that tells an organization overseas what they have to be doing. We basically say to them, look, we want to support you in what God has called you to do. So you tell us what God has called you to do, and we will endeavor to be able to support you in that. So I'll give you an example. So at the end of last year, I approached all of our ministry partners and said, look, you tell me what it is that God is calling you to do next year. And we as WorldShare will see what we can do and where we can help. And then, so projects then came in from the Canal Hyatt, as I explained, the television broadcasting company. They need a new studio in Turkey. So we've been praying about them trying to find a new studio. The school in Ghana, as I said, they came up and said, well, you know, this is something we really need because the kids, this is part of the curriculum and we can't provide it at this moment in time. And otherwise it means that children who would not get an education otherwise, they literally offer free education to children who would never get the opportunity otherwise. So there's huge, huge kind of demands placed upon us. But what we do is we try and prioritize in response to what our ministry partners are saying. And then we will focus on trying to deliver. So we recently managed to deliver a request in Myanmar, which, as I said, there's an orphanage and a Bible college, which basically over there, the power grid is not very stable. And one of the things that they were asking us for was to help them purchase a generator to run the church, run the Bible school. And we were able to do that. And that's a real blessing to be able to, and in reality, it's a fairly small project in the global things, but for them, it was huge and it's made a huge difference to them. And that's one of the things I think that is different about WorldShare. And one of the things that really attracted me to WorldShare when I got to hear about it was that WorldShare is able to do those smaller things that perhaps other agencies wouldn't even consider doing, but which make a huge difference. And so, yeah, it's kind of those kind of projects, as well as continuing to support month on month the food programs, the education programs as well. So there is a juggling act. And sometimes I will lay awake at night thinking, how are we going to do this? And we just commit it all unto the Lord and just keep praying as a team. We pray every morning. And we just see the Lord providing. We just see God opening up our supporters through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe and our presenting these things, and God just provides. And we're just rejoicing in how we see that. But it is a challenge.
Sure, sure. And Andrew, you mentioned before the show that you'd been able to respond to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza more recently.
Yes. So one of the areas that WorldShare does work in is in disaster relief. And when the conflict back in October started, as a result, obviously, of the Hamas attack in Israel, we were already engaged with supporting churches in Turkey, in Antioch, if you're in scripture, on the Syrian border. As a result of the earthquake, which took place in February last year. So we were committed to that. So we weren't in a position to do anything. But when we got to the end of 12 months supporting work that was going on there, and the trustees at WorldShare and I were kind of praying about whether we could engage in the situation with Gaza, supporting Christians. And at that stage, not knowing anything about having a ministry partner there, we just prayed. And we saw the Lord, and the Lord opened an opportunity for us to discover and work with a ministry that's been there based around and at the Gaza Baptist Church, which has been in existence since 1959, I think. And the ministry that we are now involved with has been in existence since 1999. There was a long due diligence process of that, as there always is when we're trying to kind of work with new ministry partners. even more so when you're dealing with a war zone situation, ensuring that funding is able to get to where it needs to get and not be kind of taken away or stolen or you know, purloined by government or the authorities. But yeah, so we're now working with an organization called Christian Mission to Gaza, which is on the ground. There's only about less than 650 Christians actually in the Gaza Strip of a population of 2 million. Many of them are refugees in terms of the housing that they've had has been destroyed as a result of the conflict. And they are taking refuge in two churches, one of which is the Catholic Church and the other church is the Orthodox Church, which is located fairly close to one another. And unfortunately, the Baptist Church of Gaza has been damaged and very severely damaged in the conflict at the moment. And so many of the Christians are taking refuge in the church, and yet they are still endeavoring to reveal the love of Jesus. So Christian Mission to Gaza are out there feeding and serving not just the Christians that are there, but their Muslim neighbors and really living out that example of Jesus to love your neighbor. Despite the fact that the situation may be something that we have no real concept of the difficulty. And having engaged with that in the last few months, we're beginning to get an idea of how bad the situation is. And WorldShare entered into this, not in any way, shape or form looking to take sides in this, what is a challenging situation, not to kind of promote one side or the other, but to be able to really live out what Jesus has told us to do, to feed the hungry, clothe those who are naked, and endeavor to support those who are themselves in difficult, really difficult situations, and yet they continue to strive to do this. And that's a real privilege to be able to know that we are helping in some small way Christians who are living out in ways that we may never get to do that call to share and reveal the gospel in tangible ways. And interestingly, when we did that in Turkey with the earthquake, there were some incredible things that took place in terms of local Muslim families who saw the love of Jesus revealed tangibly and were amazed at it. And as a result of that, having seen the gospel lived out, then went along to open air services that were being held by the local church. And people were finding Jesus. And the church now in Antioch, in Antakya, is even bigger in number than it was before the earthquake. And that's with many of the original congregation fleeing to safer places. So it's often in the most difficult situations and darkest places that the light of the gospel shines most bright. And people can really begin to respond to the love, as Jesus tells us, to just reveal love and to show love and to share love. And by this, people will know that we are his disciples. And so it's a joy for us to be partnering with the guys in Gaza who are endeavoring to live this out.
Time's almost defeated us, Andrew, but just time to, I guess, to focus on a little bit on the future. It sounds like you've got partner churches you're working with already with the continued projects. Are you open to more? Are you looking for more churches? How does the next few years look for you?
Well, we want to make sure that we are able to fully support those people that we are committed to. But we are always looking for the possibility of the Lord opening another door somewhere else. At this moment in time, we've just taken on, as I say, the Gaza opportunity. But so we won't be taking on another ministry partner overseas for the next few months, at least, so we can fully focus on supporting them. But one of the key elements that I would like to say is that there may well be, listening to this, churches that want to get involved in kind of overseas mission or ministry, but don't know how. Well, this is exactly what WorldShare endeavors to do, is to enable churches in the UK, individuals in the UK, to engage with mission in a way that perhaps they wouldn't otherwise be able to. And one of the great things about WorldShare is, I believe, that the way in which we continue to update, support, provide information and the support to our supporters that they need so that they can see the difference that their money is actually making rather than just going to a big hole in a big pot and not knowing what happens to it. So yeah, if there's people out there, please contact us at WorldShare. If you have a church, if you're a church leader, or you'd like to find out more about perhaps partnering with us and in so partnering some of the other ministries that we are working with around the world.
So doubtless people will type WorldShare into Google. I'm sure there's a specific address, Andrew.
It's yes, worldshare.org.uk. Worldshare.org.uk.
Wonderful. Well, Andrew, it's been terrific to chat with you. Thank you for your enthusiasm and exciting to see, well, to hear about all the great things that are happening. So bless you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's been good to be here today.
It was great to chat with Andrew Yelland, the CEO of WorldShare. That website again, www.worldshare.org.uk. Lots of themes to unpack in our conversation. His openness to serve and to lay down one ministry before being directed regarding the next one. Also, his willingness to accept the agenda of the charity that he was going to in the early days, certainly. And indeed, the agenda of the ministries that WorldShare partner with around the world. So you heard his plea that if you're a church which doesn't have particular focus on world mission or is looking to partner with a charity, they'd be only too glad to hear from you. So this is Andy Pett, your host. Grateful that you've been able to join us again and looking forward to doing so very soon. Thanks for tuning in.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.